In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and we do this broadcast live. We went over the Galatians, letter to the Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians. It's really a summary of what it says in Romans, that Jesus Christ, our Lord, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By becoming a curse himself. For the scripture says, "Cursed is the man who is crucified or nailed to a tree." That's why Paul was so adamantly against Christianity. People were saying, "This is Messiah," and Paul knew that he was a curse. But later he comes to realize that he, Jesus, became a curse so that we might become the very righteousness of God. He not only became a curse, but he became sin for us, but he broke sin in his body. We are the children of Abraham, for Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteous. So it is always by grace through faith. And we receive the Holy Spirit by hearing the gospel that Jesus Christ died for us, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead. And as we believed in Jesus, we received the Holy Spirit by hearing with faith, hearing with faith, hearing with grace. So if anyone today can say, "I am a child of God," it's because of the grace of God. Anyone who believes in Jesus, it's because of the grace of God. And it tells us in Galatians 4, "But when the fullness of time has come," that's the kairos moment. That's the very, very immediate moment. If one moment bypassed it, it would be gone. When the fullness of time, the kairos moment had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman and made or born under the law. So Jesus Christ sent his Son, born of a woman. We have to remember the woman is Mary. And he made him under the law that he, Jesus, might redeem them, that's us, who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The law could not make us sons. It's the Spirit of God that comes to us by hearing the gospel with faith that makes us children of God. The law could only make us law keepers, but Jesus Christ makes us children of God through the Holy Spirit, that he might redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. The Spirit of God makes us the sons of God because you are sons, not lawgivers, not lawkeepers. God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts crying, "Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, Papa, Father." Therefore, now, we are not servants, but we are sons. And if we are sons, we are heirs through God. We are heirs through Christ Jesus. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. All I have is thine, and thine all you have is mine. Jesus waits for us to completely give our lives over to him. So I just want to conclude by saying the law was overcome by Jesus Christ. It was a teacher. Now we are no longer under the teacher of the law, but we are under grace. And grace calls us to believe in Jesus Christ. And as we believe in Jesus Christ, we are the sons of God, providing we have faith in Jesus. And if all about grace, without grace, we're nothing. We cannot believe without grace. If you are a believer today, it's because the Lord gave you saving grace to believe. It's as simple as that. And that grace is offered to everyone and anyone who wants it. That grace is being offered to you today if you want it. But you have to want it. You have to want Jesus. But you say, I've been a sinner. I've not even thought about God. That's right. Neither did Paul think about Jesus Christ. He was killing Christians. And if God could save St. Paul, God can save you. Your God is too small. He is the God who saves. He is the God who makes us into the children of God. He is the God who redeems us from the law. He is the God that we heard preached, and we saw the crucified Jesus as we heard him being preached by Paul. Yes, the Galatian community saw the crucified Christ. How? Through the preaching of the gospel. And they did miracles. How? Through the preaching of the gospel and by grace. So St. Paul is saying, don't go back to the law. The law was kind of a tutor before grace came. Now grace has come and the law has been fulfilled because Jesus Christ is fulfillment of the law and is also fulfillment of the prophets. You must know that. You must know that. I want to go on right now to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, the scripture says, and now, so that means at this moment, now, emphatic, thus says the Lord, who created thee, O Jacob, who formed thee, O Israel, fear not, don't be afraid. This is what the Lord says to you today. Fear not, for I, the Lord, have redeemed thee. I have bought you back, and I called thee by name. When the Lord talks to Zacchaeus, he says, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. I'm going to have supper in your house. The Lord doesn't call you by a number, by your social security number. Give me the last four digits of your social security number. No, no, no. He calls you by name. Thou art mine. Oh, yes. All mine are thine, and all thine are mine. You belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to the Lord of glory. You belong to him who formed you. And he says to you today, do not be afraid. Do not fear, because I have formed thee. I have redeemed thee, bought you back. Through the sea, I have called you by name. You are mine. Oh, this whole scripture, this first verse, if we could get it into our hearts, I have called you by name. You are mine. You belong to me. I redeemed you through the sea, and now I redeemed you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, you have been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I have been redeemed, bought back by the blood of Jesus. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and you belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to Jesus Christ, and he says to you today, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, because I am with you. I have redeemed you through my blood. I have called you by name. Oh, yes, I want to say that again. He calls us by name, not by number, not by telephone number, by name. He calls you by name. He says John. He says Mary. He says Francis. He says Paul. I have called you by name. He called the new pope by name, and the pope gave his name yesterday. Francisco, Francis. Francis the humble, Francis the one who believed in the power of the cross, Francis the one who was to rebuild the church of God because it was in disarray. And we see that the Pope has taken the name of Francis. That says everything. Francis, go and rebuild my church because it is in disarray. So we see that the Holy Father by name is now Holy Father Francis the First, Francis the Humble, Francis the Preacher, Francis, the one who proclaimed Jesus Christ to everyone, who sang the praises of God, the little poor boy that went about singing the praises of Almighty God and of his Holy Son, Jesus Christ. And God said to Francis, rebuild my church because it is in disarray. Then verse 2, Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, not if, when you pass through the waters of difficulty, the waters of whatever, the waters of pain, I will be with thee. When you pass through the waters of difficulty, the waters of persecution, the waters of having not enough money to pay your bills, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not cover thee. When you walk through the fire, oh my, the fire of persecution, the fire of telling the truth and they don't believe you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not burn you up. I tell you, my friends, if we just took these first two verses of Isaiah 43, this is enough to live in peace. Now, says the Lord, at this moment, who created thee? But before he created thee, they were redeemed through the Red Sea. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. You see, redemption comes before creation. The book of Genesis came from a people who had been redeemed through the sea. It is the last book that Moses wrote, even though it is the first book in the Bible, that we have been redeemed. How? Through the blood of Jesus, Old Testament, through the Red Sea, and that he called you by name. And when you have troubles and you pass through the waters, I will be with you. He is with you now. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, they will not cover you. When you walk through the fire, oh, and the fire will burn. Oh, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not burn you up. Why? Because I am with you. And as Christians, we not only believe he's with us, but he is in us. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit that makes us sons of God. We are sons of God, and if we are sons of God, we are heirs with Christ Jesus, providing that we suffer with him, and the suffering is persecution. Verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Oh, yes. The first thing that God has to be to us is salvation. Jesus Christ is the Lord God, our Savior. He is the God of Israel. He is the God of the nations. I have given Egypt for your atonement, Ethiopia and Saba for thee, since thou hast become honorable in my eyes. Why are we honorable? Because we've been washed with the blood of Jesus. We are honorable in the eyes of God. And then it says, thou art glorious. Thou art glorious. Why? Because we have been washed with the blood of Jesus. I have loved thee, and I will give men for thee and people for thy life. I tell you, this is real. This is real. That he is our protector. He is our defense. He is our shelter. He is our Lord. He covers us with his blood. Therefore, we are indebted to the Savior, who loves us, with an everlasting love, and who gives men for us and people for our life. Fear not, for I am with thee. Again, in verse 5, the scripture says, fear not. Why does the Bible say, fear not, so many times? Because we are always wanting to be afraid, always wanting to not trust him. Fear not, For I am with thee. And not only is he with you, he is in you if you are a believer, because the Spirit cries, Abba, Father, Papa, Father, I am with you. And I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. Yes, he's done that now. That's happened now. Isaiah 43, 5 has happened now. People from the north, the south, the east, and the west are populating Israel. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Okay, who are you? You are a son of God. Who are you? You are a daughter of God. Oh, yes, through the Holy Spirit. Remember, Galatians says that he has given us his Spirit that cries, Abba, Father. He did not do that to the Israelites. They only had God with them. Remember Moses, when God says, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. Moses says, who shall I say told me to come to you? He says, I will be with you. Oh, yes. But not only is he with us, he is in the believer, the Spirit of God crying, Abba, Father. And everyone that calls upon my name, I have created him for my glory. Why were you created? Why was I created? For the glory of God. I was created for the glory of God. You were created for the glory of God. How do you live that out? By grace through faith. Oh, yes, for the glory of God. You were created for the glory of God. That's what you were created for, to give God glory. Yes, that's what you were created for. I don't care how you look at yourself. You might not see yourself as being anything, but you were created for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. I have created him for my glory. I have formed him and made him. Bring forth the people that are blind and have eyes, that are deaf and have ears. Oh, how many times has God told us that he loves us and we don't believe it? How many times have we seen the miracles of God and still we're deaf and blind? My friends, it's time for us to believe. It's time for us to surrender to Jesus Christ. Bring forth the people that are blind and have eyes, that are deaf and have ears. All the nations are assembled together and the tribes are gathered. Who among you can declare this and shall make us hear the former things? Let them bring forth their witness. Let them be justified that hear and say it is truth. Verse 10, you are my witnesses, says the Lord. Oh, yes, you shall be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. To be a witness of God means that we need first-hand experience of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Not think and wonder, but taste and see that the Lord is good. You shall be my witnesses. I am a witness of Jesus Christ, that he has saved my life by the grace of the living God, that he has called me before I was formed in my mother's womb, just like Paul. He has called me to proclaim the gospel of truth, the gospel of Christ. He has called me to be a witness to Jesus Christ. That's what I am, and I hope that's what you are. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I myself am. Before me there was no God formed, and after me there shall be no more. In other words, God is God from the beginning. All these other gods, you know, are not gods at all. They are not gods at all. Let me just look at this. If I could find it. 1 second, please. Praise ye the Lord, the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Praise ye the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. Who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. Who made the heavens in understanding, for his mercy endures forever. Who established the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. Who made the great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule the day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule at night, for his mercy endures forever. Who smote Egypt, his redemption, with the firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. Who brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. Who divided the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. Who brought out Israel through the midst of the sea, for his mercy endures forever. Who overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. This is the God who acts. This is the God who calls us to be witnesses. This is the God who calls us by name. This is the God who says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with thee, and I am in thee. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me." Amen. There is no Savior besides Jesus Christ. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior beside Jesus Christ. I am not a Savior. I need to be saved by the blood of Jesus. I am not a Savior, and neither are you. Sometimes we act as if we are the Savior, that we need to do these things, that God only uses us. No, we cannot be other people's saviors. That doesn't mean we don't help people. It doesn't mean we don't feed people. It does mean that we cannot save other people. It is impossible even for us to save ourselves. He is our Savior. He is your Savior. He is my Savior. What does it say in John 1:20? I am not the Messiah. John the Baptist says it. I am not the Messiah. I am not the Savior. There is only one Savior, and I might do something by his grace, but I cannot save people. Neither can you. You cannot save your drug-addicted son. You cannot save your drug-addicted daughter or alcohol-addicted daughter. You cannot do that. That is up to God. You have to give them to Jesus Christ. Give them to God. Allow God to do what he needs to do. Sometimes our butting into it prevents the Lord from working. So what we need to do is just let them go. That doesn't mean we stop loving them. It does mean we stop enabling them. We don't stop loving, but we stop enabling, for there is only one Savior, and he is the Lord. I am the Lord. There is no Savior besides me. I have declared and have saved. I have made it heard, and there was no strange one among you. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and I am God. Witnesses to what? Witnesses to Jesus Christ. Witnesses to the Lord himself. Witnesses to what he has done for us and how many times he has done it for us. Oh, yes. How many times that the Lord has broken into our silence and has saved us from sin, has saved us from people who want to hurt us. Yes, I am your God. I am your Savior. There is no Savior but me. So that's what I'm going to conclude with. No Savior but Jesus. He is the Savior. I remember speaking with a contemplative nun, Sister Seraphim, and she said the first thing that people need to do is to receive Jesus as their Savior and Lord. I remember, you know, so quiet, she said, contemplative nun, been behind the walls for many, many years. The first thing, Jesus has to be your Savior, that he saves us. What does he save us from? He saves us from our sin. He saves us from ourselves. He saves us from trouble. He saves us from the fires. He saves us from the waters. He saves us as we're wading through the river. He saves us. He saves us as he saved Israel through the Red Sea. He wants to save you. And if you don't know him as Savior, you just ask him, "Oh, Jesus, be my Savior. I need you to save me. I need to be saved by your grace. I need to know that you call me by name. I need to know that you call me as a witness. I need to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord. I need to know that it's only the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to cry out, Abba, Father. It is only the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to cry out, Abba, Father. I need to know that you are my Savior and that you will always be my Savior, because you say, fear not, for I have redeemed you in the blood of Jesus. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Take the Lord's hand and let him be for you salvation. Let him be for you mercy. Let him be for you God, for he is God and the only Savior that there is. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time. And you know that I was just listening to one of the other evangelists. We don't spend $1 million a month, but we spend about $350,000 a year. And for us, that's a lot of money, because I am just Father Tom, Boston priest, and I don't go begging for people. God knows how to put us on the air. So if this is a broadcast that is blessing you, you bless us. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Don't wait for someone else to give. You're the one. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. He is your Savior, and be not afraid. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.